Well, obviously, this standardises the mobile phone policy across all our secondary schools, all our schools, in fact, and it applies to teachers as much as to students. And I have to say, as far as I'm concerned, it has been very well received in the main. And the feedback I've had from schools is that there has been noticeably higher levels of social interaction in the break times, in particular lunch times, in those schools. So hopefully is viewed as a success.
And there were some schools on the island that already had this policy, wasn't it, before it was introduced? Was there any kickback from some of those that hadn't introduced it before?
No, this standardised it, and I said it applies equally to teachers as well as students. Also, some schools had a policy of no phones during lesson time, but permitted the use of phones on school premises in the break times, and this made it an off and away policy consistently across all schools.
Just remind us then why this was introduced and what was the feedback you were getting before this academic year?
There's obviously a wider conversation about the age of young people accessing the internet and in particular social media. And that is a sort of wider societal concern. I think in school, it's the level of distraction, particularly during lesson time with binging up messages. Also, there is a risk, a safeguarding risk. So it's very important, while there is a mobile phone policy about the use and the acceptable use of devices is another policy, that there has to be equally some education of children into the safe use of devices and also their internet and other access.
And you mentioned there about social interaction during break times. We spoke to Chris Gregory from Isle of Play last year, who said that research has proven mobile phones can have a significant impact on children's development. Have we seen any improvement, do you think, in academic results with that lack of distraction, or is it hard to tell?
Well, it's very hard to tell. Obviously, the policy came in formally after consultation with stakeholders, unions, teaching professionals. It was formalised, I think came in from January this year. So for 2 terms of this year, it has been in force. And obviously the first exam results we will see follow in this summer. But I think just wider as a support for students, the pressure not to be on social media, not to have the phone or the device, and also being able, as I heard Chris Gregory say, to have that unfettered play. And actually, what I read widely on it, what I'm reading is that young people having, play time, going out to play, the traditional playing or being out in nature. We are really blessed on the Isle of Man. We've got fantastic natural beauty, hills, coastal walks, also seas, rock pooling. Manx Wildlife Trust, Isle of Play do a fantastic job through summer holidays with having schemes for children and young people to engage in. So I just think it's a really important thing to be able to put your phones down. Having said that, it's also a good tool. I know that when I've been out and about this Saturday, there was a plant that I didn't know what it was, or a butterfly I didn't know what it was. It's very good sometimes to take a picture and be able to look up that actually this is chicory blooming wild, or vetch, or whatever it is. So there is a use for technology, but it having the ability to be out and enjoy nature or activities that don't rely on a smartphone, I think it's really important. But that is a bigger societal question. I am happy that within schools, the policy seems to have enabled students to participate fully without distraction during lesson time, but also have almost like a lack of pressure and a more willingness to engage socially amongst their peers and with their teachers. So far, it is looking mainly, I'd say, if not entirely positive from the feedback that I've had.
And teachers, have you had feedback from them in terms of, you mentioned lesson time? It must be easier in the classroom to not have to be issuing those reminders every 5, 10 minutes if somebody's sat at the back on their phone or you hear something beeping. What are they saying? Have you heard directly?
Yes, I've heard from teachers that there was a noticeable increase in volume in the break times when children were talking to each other, students talking to each other. That was particularly in the secondary schools. In lesson time, it's a massive plus that both teaching staff, setting the example as much as anything, not getting distracted by mobile devices, but also students I wouldn't say it's 100% attendance or focus, but obviously there's a lot going on for a lot of students, and the weather's hot, or you know how much it's a big ask if I cast my mind back to being at school, to be able to focus on the lesson and to be able to engage in the lesson. But all the feedback that I have had has been that it's a positive, and we're not actually thinking of amending it anytime soon.
And a timely beep of the phone that we heard in the background. But so how is this being? I know it is policy, as you mentioned beforehand. It's not a ban, but in terms of enforcement, I suppose, how is this being policed in a way?
Well, all the schools are applying the policy evenly. I haven't heard any kickback about it not working. Obviously, everybody is responsible for it. So should phones be seen, there are procedures in place for the secure confiscation or otherwise of those. Mm-hmm. And I should say as well that those students who have a requirement for a medical need obviously are still able to access that.
Of course, yeah. And you did touch on this before. If we can slightly widen the scope, there is a campaign by some parents who we've been speaking to in terms of urging other parents to delay giving their children smartphone until they're at the end of year 9 at least. What do you make of that campaign?
I watch with interest. I think if I cast my mind back with my now older teens, I think delaying the use of a smartphone beyond year 7, I would see as a positive, but every individual is different. And I have found amongst my generation of parents that sometimes it's as much for our peace of mind to be able to find out where a child is at a particular time. I'm not sure that, you know, I think that society is waking up to the fact that we are giving children a device that opens up a whole world, not only social media, but internet and the massive risks of that. I think that there's something about the development and mental health awareness that we are only just discovering. And yeah, I look forward to seeing where that campaign goes. I think from what we've done within the schools, it feels like a positive step, and society as a whole and the ability to teach children what a powerful tool it is that they have, the appropriate use of that might be something that follows. But no, I'll watch with interest how the parents' campaign goes. And as we all know, peer pressure is a very real thing. And I know one of my colleagues actually on the roadshow was speaking how awful the pressure is of a child in year 6 and then in year 7. The expectation of that rite of passage now is that you receive a smartphone, and the peer pressure that puts on an individual, but also how that changes behaviour and interaction. So I think that perhaps we're only just discovering what 10, 15, 20 years of smartphone impact is on society in general.
Do you sympathise with parents having to make that choice if their child is starting in secondary school this coming September?
Well, the policy for us is off and away. You know, a child or a student is not obliged to have a phone because there isn't any use during the school day. So it's, I suppose, parental discussion with students as to the purpose and, you know, why is that necessary? Could you imagine living without your phone?
It would help, wouldn't it, to be able to say, well, you don't need a smartphone just yet. You're not allowed them in schools. When you're outside at home, we have a computer in the house or something like that. So, and that is what the group was saying about that peer pressure element of it. I mean, yeah, 100%. It seems to be that the more parents are signing up to this pack, the more actually turning to say, I'll agree as well. Could you have seen yourself 5 years ago signing that pact as well online, if it was around?
I think 5 years ago my oldest would have been 14,
right,
and already had a phone, and before that had an iPod with various music and everything else on and game playing. I think that the way the brain develops, the impact on the brain, the light, the ability to have the whole world and who knows who's contacting or making contact with children, even with the age restrictions that we know that teens or younger children sign up for certain sites, that social media sites that have an age restriction, how you police all that. It is much better, I think, if the parents have the conversation with their young people and come to an agreement. And I also have seen a couple of young girls quite happy not to have a phone and actually relishing the freedom that gives them. Mm. And I know amongst young people that I'm aware of, some who do not engage and are not on any social media. So I think, you know, we say that young people today, they're not as heavy drinkers mm-hmm. as perhaps my generation were at young teenagers and under 18s and pushing the boundaries. And it's quite interesting, I think, to see that, you know, young people are equally able to see the research and the impact on their older siblings and older friends, perhaps to think that maybe the wise people reduce their use and or delay getting a smartphone. And we will see how that plays out over the next months.
And looking ahead then to next academic year, you've mentioned before this is policy, it's not an outright ban on smartphones in school, smart devices. Is there any changes to policy next year that you can see on the horizon?
No, I wouldn't anticipate that this would be reviewed for at least a full year of its use, and more usually two years or more is the standard for looking at policy, unless we had a massive amount of feedback that made us reconsider any elements of it. I think that there is perhaps an element that says, alongside restricting the amount of time young people spend on devices, should there be an element of education? Now, we have PHSC lessons within school and discussions and explore a whole range of topics, but it's the appropriate use and, you know, warning, the COPS level button, protection, child protection, safeguarding. You could say that we in education, there was an issue over children not being able to swim and the risk that was in around an island nation. So we teach swimming through schools, and then we have road safety, for instance, in schools, cycling proficiency. So how much time in a very packed curriculum should be appropriate, that elements of social media awareness, impact, you know, mental health, well-being, resilience, all that, I could see that evolving over the coming years.
Becoming perhaps a bit more of a priority, that you think, in lesson time?
I think that, you know, as we get through AI as well, the appropriate use of AI and all of that in terms of young people today, probably education and workplace opportunities is going to be completely transformed to how it looked when I was first that age and looking out in the career opportunities.
Charlie, now then, just remind us, Ramsey Grammar School, when did you finish sixth form?
It was this June, I had my last exam.
You've left education now, could go on to higher education, I suppose, but looking back over your time in secondary school, how did you find the use of smartphones, and in particular, social media in your generation? When did you see it becoming a thing?
Mm. All the way through, really. Everyone had a social media account all the way through from year seven. And that was something that we all did, and it was just a very normal thing.
And in terms of class time, that distraction, do you recognise that? Did you ever have moments in class where someone would be texting on their phone and it would disrupt the whole scenario?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely people, you know, noticeably using their phones in lesson. That was frequent. That would be every lesson. Certain individuals would do that. In my last year, since the policy was introduced, that was noticeably decreasing, especially in sixth form, where many sixth formers were generally at Ramsey allowed to use their phone. Mm-hmm. We actually just weren't anymore. You know, we weren't excluded from the rule that did exist at Ramsey.
And the social interaction element, has it helped in that regard, do you think?
There's definitely more social interaction from when I started. When I started, if you were walking down a corridor, not a single person would look at each other in the eye because we would be staring at our phones. So it's definitely a big change for the better in that regard. Possibly. Yeah, you could be. But I suppose it depends what you value most. Mm-hmm. You could get the most information into a lesson by using AI because of the time saving. But also, I suppose it does lose that wonder, you know, searching through websites trying to find the information you want.
Apologies, going on a slight tangent there, but just it's an interesting time to be speaking about this, isn't it? But yeah, so just overall then, this policy around smartphones, would you say it's been popular amongst your peers as well as yourself?
Well, it definitely wasn't popular because it's limiting us, but it really quickly, we got used to it. And, you know, not having your phones in school and just talking to people instead, actually that change took a month or two at most. And suddenly it's a lot more you know, social and chatty.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.